All right, we're all back.
Boom.
All right, we're at the bottom of page 82, and it talks about we're like a, the alcoholic's like a tornado rolling his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. And this is where I talk to my guy down there, and I tell him to read this part. We feel a man is unthinking when he says sobriety is enough. We feel a man is unthinking. And I had to look that word up. Unthinking. There's a teacher in here. What does unthinking mean?
Not thinking.
Very good. Unthinking means not thinking. It means you're ignorant. And that's what I had to learn, is that you're ignorant if you think sobriety is enough. It's like the farmer who comes out of the cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarks, "Don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing." Jeez. And he's even sent me a text before. "Ain't it grand, Ma?" And I said, "Get to a meeting." Oh, God. There are just some where you just have to keep beating it over their head. All right, top of page 83. Yes, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. A long period. Okay, and we must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fit the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation. So it's given us a direction right there, that our Creator shows us the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. Patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Okay? I don't walk around, you know, with a robe and 2 feet off the ground. But I live more spiritual life than I ever have today than I did when I was drinking. You know, I just didn't have any spiritual life at all until I got into this program and started doing this action. Unless one family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought not urge them. We should not talk incessantly to them about our spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic of anyone. I talk about, you know, it was 10 miles into the woods, it's 10 miles out of the woods.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be overnight. You drink for 20 years, you're drunk for 20 years, you know, 1 year you're sober, and you're like, why isn't she all thrilled? I'm sober a year. You know, it's because there's a long time for her to realize, or him, you know, what it is. And there may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly, that word again, honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. And there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We're still doing the ninth step. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble, without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our own feet. We don't crawl before anyone. And then here we have what we read in a lot of meetings. Here's the ninth step promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, the ninth step, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. This whole thing is just totally promises. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. I don't like some of my past. But what I was told by my sponsor early on, all those things you did in your past are going to be your greatest assets one day in helping somebody else. All that time you did in jail and institutions, somebody's going to come to you one day that went to jail and institutions, and you're going to be able to help them with what you know you did. So don't regret it. It's the past. And you don't shut the door on it. We will comprehend. Oh, I love that. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we'll see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things, me, and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. It doesn't leap away, it slips away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Now, we're going to find out how we're going to do that in a minute. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Over and over and over in my story, God was working in my life without me even giving it any consideration. And the young lady last night said that probably 3 or 4 times, that God was doing for her what she couldn't do for herself. And then it asks, are these extravagant promises? And in a lot of times in big groups you hear everybody go that chant, "We think not." I sit there and go, "Hell yeah, they're extravagant, but they're real." It says, "We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly." And here's the key right here. They will always materialize if we work for them. All right? So that's 4 through 9 daily, if we work for them. And then what do? We sit around and we debate. Now that we've done step 9 and done the best we can, I'm still doing step 9. You know, step 9 goes on the rest of my life. But I don't just stop there because I know who I'm making amends to and I have them on a list and I haven't been able to see to them. We immediately, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set any new mistakes as we go along. We promptly admit them. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Again, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Some of you all heard me talk before that I had a guy ask a sponsor one time what I do when I'm finished working the 12 steps, and he says, "You lie very, very still because you're dead." You don't ever finish working the 12 steps. You don't. If you're not working 10, 11, and 12 every day, if you've done all your amends, then you're working 10, 11, and 12 every day if you want to stay in this program and stay alive and be happy, joyous, and free, which is what my God wants for me. Okay, our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. It's not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for... Continue, and here's... 4 things we continue to watch for every day. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up. Doesn't say if they crop up. So Bill's telling us they're going to crop up. You know, fear's going to crop up. Selfishness is going to crop up. Dishonesty, I hopefully have gotten rid of that one. Resentment occasionally crops up. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. All right, we discuss them with somebody immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. The 10th step, promptly admitted, and then we talk with another alcoholic or talk with another person about it. And we immediately make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And that has to be, you know, Dr. Bob had a lot of input on this part right here because he was the kinder, humbler, more spiritually based man. Bill said, and as AA comes of age, that Dr. Bob was a more spiritually based man than he was. And so when love and tolerance of others is our code, it really was probably Bob talking about that. And here's the 10th step promise. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. All right, so now we're in the 10th step. For by this time, sanity will have returned. the insane thought preceding the first drink. By this time, if you're really practicing the spiritual principles of this program, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We've not even sworn off anymore. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. The people who wrote this book, they're saying they're not cocky nor they're afraid. That's their experience, and that is how they react so long as they keep in fit spiritual condition. Now, somebody who said that they were going to be here today told me that the past couple weeks they hadn't been here because they'd been sitting on their laurels. And I looked at them and I said, "You have laurels?" Mm-hmm. They're not here today. So maybe they're sitting on their laurels some more. And it says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action, the spiritual program of action, and rest on our laurels. Everybody know what laurels are?
Yeah, they're a plant.
No.
They are, though. The haunches.
Yeah, you can say that, too. They're your past achievements. Mm-hmm. The achievements that you got, the laurels come from the Olympics. They used to give you laurels for being the best. Okay, so yesterday I was the best at running, so today I don't have to run. I'm going to rest on my laurels. Because yesterday I was the best. Well, if I don't keep practicing, what's going to happen? I'm not going to be able to run. I'm just going to be sitting around doing nothing. And it says we're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured. Remember in the beginning weeks I talked over and over about how we do recover. How they wrote the book saying here are thousands of men and women who have recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. Recovered simply means to get well. But here it is on page 85. We are not cured. What we have, what we really have, is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all, if you want to underline that, our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These thoughts must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish, because it's the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power, the God as you understand Him. If we have carefully followed directions, remember the book talks about clear-cut directions, specific instructions. If we have carefully followed directions, we begin to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But here it is again. But we must go further, and that means more action. My God. What do they want us to do? Just keep doing stuff? Yes, that's exactly. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. What's it say on the board? Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works. If we have the proper attitude and work at it, it'd be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. And so they're going to tell us what to do at night and what to do in the morning. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving towards all? In big letters next to my book, I got two words. It just says, be nice. You know, just be nice. And I can go to sleep If I've been nice during the day and I haven't tried to cause conflict, I haven't tried to cause trouble, you know, just being nice, I can go to sleep real easy. I don't have to make a phone call. What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? Because I sucked life for so long. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And that's the tenth step. As we go to sleep, we review our day. And it's followed by, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. And I tell people all the time, I used to get up, go to the bathroom, make coffee, light a cigarette, walk the dog, do all these things, and then sit down and start reading some prayer and meditation books and reading these pages. And then one day, my sponsor says, what is the first thing you do when you wake up? I go, well, I get up and go to the bathroom. He says, why don't you start thanking God that he woke you up? Because he didn't promise you yesterday that he was going to. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. I still got to go to the bathroom, sorry. I'm old. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin our day, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that we be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties, with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. I abused them for a long time, but he did give them to me for me to use in the proper way. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking of a day, we may face indecision. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. This is the first time that it says in the book, we relax and take it easy. It doesn't say it in step 3, step 4, we take it easy. Easy does it comes from a story in the back of the book. It has nothing to do with working these steps. We don't struggle, and we're often surprised at how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced or having just made a conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. I assure you, I am not inspired at all times. But I don't act out like I used to, because it says we might pay for these presumptions and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. And I have come up with some great ideas, and my sponsor has this little thing. I'll tell him I have a good idea. He says, well, okay, tell me about it and let's pray. I'll tell him, I've got a great idea. You know what comes out of his mouth? I'd like to see you over at my house right now before you act out on that great idea. You know, because your great ideas have gotten you in some awful big jams, Jim. And so, you know, I'm glad I've got somebody like that. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely on it. And then we usually conclude this period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problem. We ask especially for freedom of self-will and are careful to make no requests of ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. So if I ask God, God, help me today do something right for somebody else, I'm asking for something for me, but I'm asking it so I can help somebody else. That is not a selfish prayer. God, would you bring somebody to buy this property today? I'm ready. That's a pretty selfish prayer. You know, I'm wanting my way. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Do circumstances warrant we ask our wives or our friends to join us in morning meditation? If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definitive or definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be attained from one's priest, minister, rabbi, sponsor, friend. You know, if you don't have a priest, minister, or rabbi, be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Okay. I am going to read a prayer that is in the 12 and 12. Okay? And it's a prayer from somebody who wasn't an alcoholic, all right, but who became a saint. And they call it the prayer of Saint Francis. All right? And it says, Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, and it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. And that's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting a new life. And that's what this program, this Design for Living, is giving me, is a new way of living. And then it goes on to say, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. We ask for the right thought or action. Remember in step 3, we turn our will in our life, and I explained the will was a thought, the will was a thought, and the life was an action. We ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. And this, a lot of people says, is one of the best sentences in the entire book. And it's the shortest sentence. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way that we've just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. My God, they're into action, aren't they? Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Now, the first 4.5 chapters are devoted to step 1 and step 2. Okay? The next chapter, chapter 5, the second half of it, is devoted to step 3 and step 4. This chapter, Into Action, just took us from step 5 through step 11. And now Bill's going to write an entire chapter on working with others. Why do you think that is?
Step 12.
It was really important for him to sell us on the idea that we had a problem. We had an obsession of mind, and we had a physical allergy of the body once we put alcohol in there, and we had a spiritual malady that we had to overcome before we could get clear mentally and physically. We had to get spiritually well first. He had to tell us that we had a problem, step 1, and there was a solution, step 2. And he continued to do that in the first 4.5 chapters. And now he's getting ready to tell us how we should go about working with others. Step 12.
He said it's the only thing that kept him sober in the beginning.
It was the only thing. 6 months he tried and didn't get one person sober. For 6 months he went in, but he went in pulling people out of bars and saying, you got to have this great spiritual experience. You got to have this great white light experience, and you don't have to drink like this. And Dr. Silkworth was the one to say, Bill, what you need to do is talk to them about the medical part of it first and bring the spiritual part of it into it afterwards. And that's why the program worked, is because Bill was willing to listen to outside people. Father Ed Dowling, who became one of his spiritual advisors, you know, also helped him write the 12 steps and also helped him say that you had to continue to work with other alcoholics if you were going to maintain sobriety. Because every time I work with a new guy, I'm going back through this book again. Sarah, I think you're doing the same thing when you work with a new girl. You don't. I have guys, I see people, sponsor people. They hand them a big book and they say, read the first 164 pages and call me. And I'm like, if that had happened to me, I'd be drunk. I would have never got this program. I needed somebody to sit down with me who had a spiritual experience and walk me through these steps one by one, one at a time. And then his one requirement when he first started working with me was, when we get through the 12 steps, you're going to continue to carry the 12 step. And that's why I'm here today, because I want to continue to stay sober, and I stay sober by continuing to carry the message that there is hope. This whole book is written about there is hope. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut it short today, because I don't want to start working with others with about 20 minutes left. So I am going to read one more thing out of something else, and we'll start chapter 7, working with others, next week. And it comes from Pass It On, and it's talking about this book. And it said, recently we wrote a book. This is not Bill or Bob. It's one of the other first 100. Recently we wrote a book called Alcoholics Anonymous. It tells precisely how we all came back from living death. Working on that book made me realize how much other people had suffered, how they had gone through the same thing I did. That's why I wanted to come on this program. I wanted to tell people who are going through that torment, if they sincerely want to, they can come back, take their place in society once again. Okay? So for today, we're going to end it, and we'll pick up.